ponder this brief parable. The king of a great land was about to take a long journey. He called his top three officials together. "I'm putting you in charge while I am gone," he said. "I'm giving you each $50,000 to manage. You are to invest these funds carefully so that when I return, my wealth will have grown substantially. Use whatever honest methods you wish." The king was gone for 5 years. When he returned, he called his officials together and asked for their reports. The first official said, "Your Highness, I invested the $50,000 in real estate, and the value of the property has now risen nearly $500,000. "Well done," said the king. "Continue to manage this property." The second official reported, "Your Highness, I invested the money in some carefully chosen venture capital funds, and the current value is nearing $1 million. Ongoing prospects look very promising." "Well done," said the king. "Continue to manage these accounts." The third official reported, "Your Highness, I put the $50,000 into a bank savings account, but its value has increased hardly at all due to inflation. However, I want you to know that I love you very much, and I think about you and read books about you every day." The king said, "This is unacceptable. I want my money to be invested, to be productive, to do something. What do you have to say for yourself?" The official replied, "Oh, wonderful king, how great are you? I praise you, and I even sing songs about you. I meditate about you at night. Oh, king, now I just want to stand by your throne, praising you forever and ever." And the king said, "Miserable servant, you have completely misunderstood my orders. You have fatally misread my commission and my character and the nature of my kingdom. Your praise is fine, good even, but there is more to serving me than that. I have other goals than just being praised. I have projects, big projects, to unfold. Now you have a job to do. Get to it. Do the work of my kingdom." And so the official went out and did the work of the kingdom, finally understanding that was his true service and his true praise. And through his faithfulness and creativity, the kingdom was made beautiful. This, I'm sure, as you may have guessed, is a sort of modern retelling of the parable of the 10 minas in Luke 19. And what I love about this telling of the story, about this parable in general, is how clear and direct it is. This isn't passive-aggressive Jesus. We certainly have work to do. And part of that work is described here in this passage. Jesus gives us a framework for how we as a community can go about doing this work of the kingdom, this work that we have. And this framework that we'll be working with this morning is what I'm calling the investor and investee relationship, or this cycle. And this cycle involves God investing in us, and we invest in others, and then those others continue on to invest in more others. That's a weird way to say that. In others as well. And the beauty of this investment, of this cycle, is that God is involved throughout. It's not as though God is just investing one time and then leaving us. God is involved throughout. So as we are investing, God is also investing. And this is the cycle of discipleship. And this rhythm of being invested in, extending praise or extending gratitude, and then reinvesting what we've learned or gained or experienced into others. And in this parable, the king is representative as God. And the first investment in this whole story isn't the investment in the first official. It's not the investment of the $50,000. Or no, the first investment isn't the first investment of the official. into real estate. The first investment is the investment of $50,000 into each of these three officials. And God is continually giving us good and perfect gifts or good and perfect investments. God is continually investing in us. And what does each official in this story do when the king comes back? They start with, "Your Highness." They start with this language of praise that I think, as all language of praise, flows out of gratitude or a deep sense of gratitude. So they get money, they invest money, and when the king comes back, they start with gratitude. I've had the great honor this week of hearing from Maggie and Isaac, and about Maggie and Isaac. And they are both really wonderful examples of this kind of relationship, of this kind of cycle. And as we talked earlier this week, they each spoke of ways that we, as a community, have invested in them. And in line with this framework that we're working with, they have some words that they'd like to share with y'all. So, Isaac and Maggie, come on up.
Here you go. We, as graduates of 2018, are full of thanks, humility, and gratitude. Thank you for showing us how a community of folks can love, support, and encourage young people like us to expand the ways we think, act, and live. Through these interactions with people, we have felt known and seen. We have been empowered to lead and serve. You have allowed us to make mistakes along the way that we have learned from. We have been able to grow in our faith and develop our own opinions with the freedom of our spirits. Our own thoughts are valued and respected in our own places of worship.
You've given us places to serve, learn, laugh, be ourselves, and find parts of who we are created to be here in this community. North Valley has been a safe place, a place where we feel welcomed and cared for. The support of the community investing in our growth has positively impacted us, and we have learned how the support from the congregation has impacted young people like us. Because of this, we will be doing the same for our future communities. We can now give back to others for the duration of our lives. We know that we still have lots to learn and lots of ways to grow. We are continually thankful for the ways that you will continue to love us and support us through all the mistakes we will endure and all the goals we will accomplish.
That's beautiful. Last week, some of what Nate talked about was when we are acting out of our calling, our actions, and God's actions are the same. When we as a community have acted on our calling and commitment to love and support and encourage and challenge and to bless each other, sort of like what we did this morning, when we bless each other, bless our communities, and bless our world, we have participated once again in this sacred cycle of investment. I heard about this time this week, or about this time, when Maggie was at the end of eighth grade, and she had a double bunionectomy, which I looked up and is a pretty gnarly surgery on your feet. And Maggie, as we know, is a soccer player, and so her feet are pretty important for that. So at the end of her eighth grade year, she had this surgery, and she was driven to get back to training. She recovered quickly. She was super motivated, and at the end of a month of good hard work, she made the varsity soccer team as a freshman. Maggie, this and many more of your accomplishments on the soccer field are a testament to your strength, resilience, and stamina. In the slideshow, if you remember, there was a picture of Maggie holding a trophy and being held up by her teammates. Her skill and passion on the soccer field has not come without a lot of support from her parents and from her coaches. They've invested in Maggie. And Maggie, you've put in work, right? You've put in a lot of work, and you've been enjoying the benefits and the rewards of that work. Hence the picture of her being held up by her teammates. There was another picture, though, in which Maggie was holding up Henry, her little brother. She was holding him up. This, to me, is reinvestment. Supporting and encouraging your teammates, Maggie, supporting and encouraging your family, serving your community and serving on Equipo in Mexico and also in Bolivia, serving with the same joy and passion and dedication that you showed making the varsity soccer team. This is participating in the sacred cycle of investment. Isaac has been investing in people his whole life. There are so many countless stories of him living out what it means to be a good friend with patience, presence, and care. Isaac is wildly accepting of people from all ages and from all walks of life. He too is full of character, demonstrated by the skill and discipline it has taken him to earn his black belt in Taekwondo. And he has done all of this with a sense of joy and creativity and loyalty, often combined with good hijinks. I heard a story recently about there's this puddle. You have to ask him about it. There's a puddle in the middle of winter and hijinks. And I think from there, he can tell you what that means. Isaac is going to study photography in college. And I think one of the main reasons for this is that one of the main reasons he is good at taking pictures is because he sees people. Isaac, you really see people. I was honored to listen to a truly beautiful example of Isaac's participation in this cycle. Over the last year, I've been able to catch glimpses of what it means to be a parent. And I've seen so many of you here engaging thoughtfully in the lives of your kids and grandkids with grace and heartiness and encouragement in the rough times of your kids' lives. Recently, Julie told me a story of a season in her life that wasn't easy. And it was sort of taking, as these seasons do, a toll on her. Isaac, in this moment, part as Julie's child, and in this moment, part as Julie's pastor, said to her, "Mom, it's okay. You're doing the things that you need to do, feeling the things that you need to feel." Isaac had reinvested. Parents and family and church community, you have done wonderful jobs at bringing up Isaac and Maggie into being wonderful humans. They are, you are, we are, participating in this cycle of investment. And as fitting for the moments of graduations, I wonder if we can look at this cycle in our own lives with a sense of fullness, looking backward with gratitude and looking forward with action. So I'd like to invite each of us to write a letter similar to the one that Isaac and Maggie have written. On one end of a pew that you're sitting in, you'll find a tub with pens and paper and envelopes that you can use to write this letter. And we've got a blue tub in the back that has extras of those things. And there's also a wicker basket at the back of the sanctuary for you to drop an addressed envelope in that we will mail out. But a word about this letter, well, more than one word, a few words. Maybe you write this letter to a person who has invested in you in some way, to a parent who has driven you to practices and to friends' houses, to a teacher or coach who has spent a little extra effort to make sure you have acquired a needed skill. Maybe you write this letter to a supervisor who has made sure that you are integrating well with the rest of the staff, a camp counselor, or maybe a pastor. Take a few moments to write a little to that person to thank them for the investment that they've made in you. Maybe with time or money or energy. And then, importantly, take a few moments to think and to dream and to write about the ways in which you can reinvest. Think, how is God moving and shaping and forming you? How is God calling you to act? And what is God calling us as a church, as a community? What is God calling us as a church to do?